you're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
Hi, I'm DSC Executive Director Corey Mason. I'm here to say thank you for making the 2020 DSC Convention and Sporting Expo another tremendous success. Because of your attendance, banquet ticket or auction bid, wildlife around the globe will truly benefit. Keep up with DSC at biggame.org.
Camp house time again in the springtime here at DSC's Kender Outdoors. You can chase gobblers or big green bass. Great time of year to catch a mess of crappie or just enjoy time on the boat with the family. We're going to do a little bit of all of that on the show today. Welcome back. Glad you're here. I'm Billy Kender, DSC Life member Billy Kender. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by our friends at Calming Care. That is a canine probiotic that very gently over time settles the overactive dog, the one that tears up the couch, gets angry because you're leaving and scratches a hole through the door, or just won't stop barking and jumping on you. A lot of people are having great results with Calming Care. You might want to look into it. Learn more at kinderoutdoors.com. K-I-N-D-E-R. There are some consistencies in the seasons around this old camp house. For example, in November, we're going to be sitting in deer camp or turning the bird dogs loose, or both. In September, it's a big group gathering at the DSC Kender Outdoors Camp House for a dove hunt. And this time of year, in the spring, when that water temperature hits 60 and above, right now, I spend a lot of time on the boat chasing crappie or big green bass. And in the turkey woods, when they gobble back at you, that's a blessing in itself. But when you can put them on the plate next to the mashed potatoes, that's a whole new level of enjoyment. And if it's springtime, you know that we're going to visit with our old friend in Missouri, turkey hunting legend Ray I. Ray, so happy you could join us today.
Yeah, thank you, Billy. Great to be back on your show again.
Welcome to the DSC Kender Outdoors Campfire. We're going to go turkey hunting with legend Ray I. And how about all these Sharelunkers, 13-pound and bigger largemouth bass that have been raining down in Texas? Kyle Brookshire with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department Sharelunker Program Coordinator. He's going to join us as well. And up in Washington, D.C., we have a brand new head at the Department of the Interior under this new administration. Will she be detrimental or an ally to the sportsman? We'll talk to Dallas Safari Club Executive Director Corey Mason about that. Pour yourself a cup of coffee and settle in. Glad you're here. Hey, this is really good news. It means the science-based conservation efforts in the state of Missouri are paying off. The Missouri Department of Conservation announced the other day that for the first time ever, Missouri will have a black bear hunt this fall, October 18 through 27. Missouri residents only, and restricted to designated areas in southern Missouri. Missouri residents can apply in May for that October hunt. Permit selection will be on or before July 1st. Black bears were historically abundant throughout the forested areas of Missouri prior to European settlement, but were nearly eliminated by unregulated killing in the late 1800s. Habitat loss due to logging was a problem as well. A small number of Missouri black bears survived, and reintroduction efforts in Arkansas have also helped to increase bear numbers in southern Missouri. Over the last 50 years, bear numbers and range in Missouri have grown. Research shows that Missouri is now home to around 800 black bears, primarily south of the Missouri River, and that bear range is expanding. Bear numbers increasing each year by about 9% and expected to double in the next 10 years. The question I probably get asked the most about Calming Care is, hey, Billy, what's the name of that stuff that you talk about that settles down my barking dog, my jumping dog? It's Calming Care. And it's not a drug. It very gently works, very naturally, over time with your overactive dog to make them a better citizen around the house. Calming care. Check it out when you visit me at KenderOutdoors.com. A couple of big winners out of Florida, both tied to Florida's Trophy Catch program that helps to grow and promote those big Florida largemouth bass. The Lake Apopka Challenge, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, Trophy Catch, and Friends of Lake Apopka tag some money fish and turn them loose in Apopka for a challenge that runs through the end of May. Can you catch a tagged money fish? Christian Greico can from Tampa. He was there fishing in Major League Fishing's Toyota Series Southern Division. At the day one weigh-in on the Harris Chain of Lakes, he showed up with Jim Thomas. Let me explain. Jim Thomas is a 12-pound largemouth bass named after the Winter Garden, Florida environmentalist who founded Friends of Lake Apopka. That fish was worth $5,000 to Christian Greico, and there's more money fish in Apopka if you can get there and catch them before May 31st. Florida's Trophy Catch program gives away a fully decked out Phoenix bass boat every year. This year's winner, Vance McCullers from Lutz, Florida. Congratulations, Vance.
Hey, everybody, it's Edwin Evers. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors. Billy, I told you to tie on a jig. What's going on?
Like everyone, the conservation world has been down a rough road lately. The money generated through science-based and properly regulated hunting, both here in the U.S. and abroad, is the key pillar of support for wildlife and wild places. I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director at Dallas Safari Club. Poaching, drought, and ties that would put a stop to hunting and the shooting sports, right and proper education of the next generations of outdoorsmen and women, these things don't stop because of a pandemic, and at DSC, neither do we. Many hundreds of mission-minded volunteers work without glory or headlines year-round for the DSC mission. That mission is clear-cut. True conservation work worldwide, sharing our beloved and precious heritage with all that will hear and take part, and defeating those that would rip up your Second Amendment and rights to hunt and fish. I invite you to come and join us. It all starts at biggame.org.
Hey, I want to let you know about something that's brand new and coming to South Dakota this fall, the Dead Rabbit Lodge. You see, the owner received his higher learning from the University of South Dakota, the Coyotes. The dreaded enemy of the University of South Dakota Coyotes is the South Dakota State University Jackrabbits. Therefore, the name, the Dead Rabbit. The Dead Rabbit Lodge sits on the eastern bluffs of Big Blue Lake Oahe. The view from your giant Western Canada Red Cedar Lodging stretches from the dam to the south almost all the way up to North Dakota. The Big Lodge is finest splendor from top to bottom, perfect for big family or corporate groups. But the Dead Rabbit will also feature separate hotel-style rooms, a great game room and bar for entertaining, guest-only dining featuring the Rabbit's award-winning chef. Oh, and about 40,000 acres of the finest pheasant hunting in the world. You won't forget the Dead Rabbit. You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you. I want to urge you to plan what will be the trip of a lifetime to Argentina. hunt doves or ducks with my friends at Cordoba Doves. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative, and he's right here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Call him at 817-797-9020. Like me, you can plan your next trip of a lifetime with Lane Balky and Cordoba Doves.
We pick you up at the airport, and you're in our care, custody, and control. All meals, all drinks, all eats are included in the package.
Lane is a hunter himself, and when he describes that first morning that you'll witness in the field, it raises the hairs on the back of your neck.
The first morning, the fly-off of the roost in the morning is spectacular. Birds almost as far as you can see, and they fly like that all day until sunset.
Come on, let's go to Argentina. It's closer than you think. Visit CordobaDoves.com or give Lane a call, 817-797-9020.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Cacheria. Can see me in Argentina.
Bring the kids along. This is where heritage is guarded just for them. Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Remember the thrill of opening morning in the deer blind? At the DSC, we work very hard to ensure that your great-grandkids will too. BigGame.org.
Hey, I'm Billy Kinder. This is DSC's Kinder Outdoors. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We greatly appreciate that. We're going to take a little trip to the hills of Missouri now and visit with my friend Ray I. He is a turkey hunting legend. You'll find him in the turkey woods every time it's legal and everywhere that turkeys exist. And I equate your name, Ray, to springtime. When I think of spring, I think of big green bass, I think of crappie spawning and filling my freezer up, and I think of the turkey woods and Ray I. You are synonymous. You've been doing this so well so long. Your name is synonymous with springtime. But, hey, you hunt them year-round. You chase them year-round, don't you, Ray?
Yes, I do. I'm a fall turkey hunter as well and hunt turkeys in the winter with a bow, and I've been real fortunate in turkey hunting to hunt them all over the country in Mexico and Canada and even down in Yucatan Peninsula. So it's been a fun ride.
Well, that ride is still rolling too. You know, the longer we go in life, you would think that something like turkey hunting or fishing or whatever we do, that we might love it to death and get tired of it, but it's just the opposite, Ray, and I bet it's the same with you. Our time in the woods just is sweeter and sweeter, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It never gets old. And every trip's an adventure. Every time you're in the woods, you just have to stop and pause and look around and take it all in and go, wow, this is wonderful.
Yeah. My memory can only hold so much, and boy, it refreshes me every time I go out. And you can't remember it just as good as it is, but it's wonderful time in the woods. Let's talk to that new turkey hunter. And I'm going to tell them first, Ray, before you give them any advice, I'm going to tell them right now, go online, do what I did a few years back, and order Ray I's Turkey Hunter's Bible. Everything you need to know is in that book. It's the most inclusive, full turkey hunting guide I've ever seen, Ray. You did a great job, and it took years to put this together.
Yes, it did. And also, that book comes with a DVD, instructional DVD, that outlines a lot of the stuff I talk about in the book.
Yep, you're going to get the instructional DVDs, and you're going to meet some of the folks that Ray has hunted with through the decades. It's pretty phenomenal. That new guy, he's going to go to the store today and buy what? What are the basics just to get started and go out and try to call a turkey today?
Yeah, I would say get you a quality box call. You know, a box call has the hinge lid. It's in one piece. You pull it across the edge to make the yelp. You can make the yelps and clucks, you can call turkeys. It's the easiest of all the turkey calls to learn to use, and it's the easiest turkey call to sound like turkeys. Box calls sound like turkeys. I always recommend a box call for those starting out. A slate and peg or a glass call are good, but it takes more time to learn how to use that and to sound like a turkey, and it's in two pieces. You got a striker and you've got a calling surface. Whereas it's a box call, it's in one piece, you take it out. Some of them you don't have to chalk. Other ones you chalk the lid, pull it across, and you can make your turkey sounds. And box call is just a great call for turkey hunting.
Yeah, easy, like Ray said, simple to use. Want to make sure that you camo up, you know, cover up any shiny objects like that, cover your face. These guys, they have phenomenal eyesight.
Yes, they do. Turkeys are looking for movement. Everything in the woods is trying to eat them. So you've got to really sit still and be camouflaged and sit in the shadows. Don't sit out in the open. It's a perfect example. If you're going to hunt a field and hunt on the edge of a field, don't sit on the edge of the field. Sit a few trees back into the timber off the edge of the field. But remember, those turkeys are looking for danger at all times, and any type of movement spooks a turkey. And you know something, Billy? One of the things today's turkey hunters, and I want to tell new turkey hunters this, is that everybody's in a hurry. Everything is instant. It's right now. Drive through the drive-through, the internet, our phones, everything you do, Google this, Google that, everything's fast. That's not how it is in the turkey world. And one of the things I've seen in the last few years when I go with turkey hunters are cell phones. Turn it off or leave it in camp. Let your guide have the cell phone, okay? And slow down. But we got to slow down because we need to get on turkey time. We're always in a hurry, and I'm guilty of it as well. When I first get in the woods, I'm in too big a hurry. Slow down. Take your time. Have patience. Take it in. Let things unfold, and things will happen for you.
Man, that's a really good point. Not only for turkey hunting, but for life in general. Slow it down a little bit. Live life day by day. Back to the camo for just a moment, though. What about a pop-up blind? It wasn't there yesterday. It's there today. Is that going to bother the turkeys, Ray?
Honestly, no. I haven't had any bad effects with turkeys with blinds. I've even put a pop-up blind in the middle of an open field. And that wasn't there the day before, and it doesn't seem to bother. Now, I've had a different effect with white-tailed deer. In some instances with white-tailed deer, you put up a pop-up, they come out in the field, they see it, they fall to the ground, they look at it, and they don't want to come around it. Other times, they don't. But turkeys, I've never had that happen to me with the blinds.
Yeah.
But it's still a good idea to set it up in the shadows, and I always try to limb mine in or put some limbs or cedar trees around it and set it in. But honestly, I've never really had turkeys be too concerned about a blind. And blinds are great, especially hunting with the kids. You take the kids, they can play with a stick and have fun and move around and get away with a lot more movement inside of a blind.
You bet. Okay, so we've gone down to the local sporting goods store. We've got our box call. We've got our camo. We even bought a pop-up blind, and we're set up in the shadows and ready to go. But Chapter 11 of Ray Eye's Turkey Hunter's Bible is titled, What's Wrong with the Turkeys? Here I am. I'm calling with this box call, Ray, and they're not answering back. What's wrong with the turkeys?
This is great. Yeah, every situation is different. It's the time of the year, the seasonality, and the cycle of the wild turkeys, depending on where you're hunting. If you're in that short, small window of the mating season, when gobblers respond to the hen calls, when most of the hens are on the nest, you do extremely well with just basic yelps. But there's times when the turkeys aren't in that particular short window of mating. You may be hunting when the gobblers are still fighting for dominance, pecking order, pushing each other around. Or you may be hunting at a time when they're covered up with the hens. The girls are with the gobblers. So you, as a turkey hunter, you have to adapt. You call and hunt dependent on what the turkeys are doing at the area you're hunting at the time you're hunting. So if you set up when you're blind and you do just a few yelps and nobody's gobbling, if you've had an opportunity to scout and you kind of know what the turkeys are doing, you can adjust. If the gobblers are running together, then sound like a gobbler. Slow your yelp down, lengthen your yelp, and use the pecking order to call the groups of gobblers. If they're with hens, try to call the hens. If you get the hens to come in, the gobblers will follow. You can also use the gobbler yelp. And this is not real difficult. Your hen yelp is a short, faster, higher-pitched yelp, and gobbler yelps are just slower in rhythm, a little longer, a little deeper.
Turkey Hunting 101 with the legend Ray Eye. We're so honored to have you with us, Ray. If you wouldn't mind, hang on just a few minutes till we get back from the coffee pot, and then we'll pick it up from there with some more basics. I mean, this is turkey hunting gold, guys. Hey, I want to remind you about this. I hadn't talked about it in a few weeks, but it's coming up in just a couple of weeks now. The Sporting Clays for Conservation, the International Wildlife Crime Stoppers fundraiser. April 17th, that's a Saturday, in Edgefield, South Carolina at the Palmetto Shooting Complex. That is the National Wild Turkey Federation Shooting Complex. They'd love for you to come. They're going to roast a pig. They're going to have a big cookout, a big time shooting clays, and they're going to give away that Easy Go golf cart with the lift ready for the pasture. As a matter of fact, you can go online, come see me at kinderoutdoors.com, and you can buy raffle tickets to win that Easy Go ready for the pasture golf cart. Learn more about this IWC International Wildlife Crime Stoppers Sporting Clays event, Saturday, April 17th, Edgefield, South Carolina.
This is Eddie Salter, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Toxie Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on. TheHarvestMovie.com. Buffalo Wool hats, socks, and gloves will keep you warm and comfortable on even the most uncomfortable days. It's called Buffalo Wool because the very special fibers used in Buffalo Wool products are harvested from beneath the big shaggy guard hairs on the bison. These special fibers are how the buffalo manages a Wyoming blizzard or a North Dakota ice storm with no trouble at all. Ron Miskin owns the Buffalo Wool Company and loves the customer feedback.
Well, I was really surprised when I got pictures back. He went and did a 330-mile snowmobile trek up in Alaska, negative 30s, Jason Muskox. He said second day he quit wearing his choppers, just wearing our gloves and hat.
The buffalo fiber you make your products from, actually warmer than wool.
Oh, yeah, much warmer than wool, a lot more durable. These are meant to be used and used hard. We warranty them for life. You wear them out, we'll replace them.
The BuffaloWoolCo.com. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife: quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups. And we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, right. These people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit JoshuaCreek.com. You might hunt the south pasture, or maybe the double tanks. You've watched that big 10-point for 4 years now. Maybe he'll show up. Or maybe it's a doe you'll hang in the cooler tonight. We're almost out of sausage links and taco meat. Maybe a pig will come by today. Among all the maybes, there is an absolute. Take your wild game to Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. The Masacchio family and their decades of family recipes will have your guests at a whitetail dinner complimenting you on the beef.
Because the way we season them, and then we cry vac them, vacuum seal them, and then let them sit. And then we put them in the freezer. So the spices get to work on the meat for a little bit. If you'll cook them just like a regular filet, you know, like medium rare or rare, it's perfect. I mean, you can't tell the difference.
Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. CinnamonCreekRanch.com.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
We knew you were coming when we heard your truck rattle across that old cattle guard. Welcome to our camp at Kender Outdoors with our partners at the Dallas Safari Club.
At DSC, we like to look down the road 20, 50, and 100 years and see clear running water full of trout, majestic sheep in high snowy places, and grassy mountain valleys filled with elk. We also picture a hunter in that valley and a fisherman in that stream. Just like Theodore Roosevelt 100 years ago, the work that we do today is terribly important. BigGame.org.
Hey, welcome back to DSC's Kinder Outdoors. I'm Billy Kinder, our special guest this time of year, every year, turkey hunting legend Ray I. Back to Missouri we go to finish our conversation up with Ray. Thanks for hanging on, Ray. You know, we've got a lot more bass fishermen than turkey hunters, but hunting a turkey is not that much more difficult, if it's even more difficult at all, than catching a largemouth bass. I think maybe people look at it and say, man, that's way too complicated for me. I'll never figure that out. But it's truly not, and it's just spectacular in the woods this time of year, right?
Yes, it is. Springtime turkey hunting with the sound of the wild turkey gobbler. Every time I hear one, even after all these years, I get just as excited now as I did then. I'm surprised there's not more people spring turkey hunting than we have. But over the years, it has grown, and the turkey range has expanded, and there's a lot more turkeys over the years, and hunting seasons have been extended across the country. But right now in today's world, some of the turkey populations are down a little bit. So they're trying to work on that and find out what's going on with the turkeys. But when you have the opportunity to go out of the woods and have a spring morning wake up with the whippoorwills, the birds singing, the owls hooting, and then you hear that spring gobbler, there's nothing quite like that.
Chapter 13 of Ray's book, Scouting and Roosting. Boy, I tell you, that is so important to me. My confidence level jumps way up when I know where those birds are spending the night, right?
Absolutely. Roosting is everything for me. That's the main scouting thing that I use as a professional with hunting with other people for shooting television shows or guiding the outdoor media. Roosting makes it happen. Whatever state I go or wherever I'm hunting, if I can roost turkeys and learn where the turkeys are roosting, where they roost, how they fly up at the roost, from which direction and how to set up on them. And that's pretty interesting, too, because if habitat doesn't change, places I hunted 30 years ago, you can roost turkeys in the same areas and do the same setup and kill turkeys.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a place out in West Texas. I'm not there, but I know where they spent the night last night.
Yeah, right.
Because they've been right there for years and years and years, and nothing's happened to make them change and move along. If folks want to get their hands on a copy, and guys, I read this year round. It's excellent by the fire winter reading, and just the good writing of Ray's Turkey Hunter's Bible. He'll actually put you in those mountains and hills of southern Missouri, and you'll actually smell the woods and hear the turkeys as you read Ray's book. And I highly recommend you get a copy of it. Where can we go to get the Turkey Hunter's Bible from Ray I?
You can go to rayi.com to order, or you can go to Midwest Turkey Call Supply, They have all my DVDs and my book, and they're great folks, and they could probably get it to you quicker than I can. But either one of those, but Midwest Turkey Call Supply is a great source to get my book or my DVDs.
A lot of guys go to their grave with great information, not Ray. God bless you. Thank you for sharing. You've started so many new turkey hunters through the years by sharing what you know, Ray. And we greatly appreciate you and greatly appreciate your time as always.
Well, thank you, Billy. It's always a privilege and honor to be on the show with you and to visit with you. I want to wish everybody a great spring turkey season. Get out there, take a kid with you hunting, and take somebody new hunting and go out and share the outdoors, because in my world, there's nothing better than a spring morning out in the woods, sharing it with somebody and hearing the woods wake up.
That's pretty strong. A little turkey hunting lesson from Ray I himself. Let's take a little trip from Missouri now to South Carolina. Donalds, South Carolina. That's where Casey Ashley lives. 2015 Bassmaster Classic champion. Bassmaster this week announced that the Classic is going to be coming back to Lake Hartwell there on the South Carolina-Georgia line next year. When I heard that news, Casey, I immediately thought of you because you won the 2015 Bassmaster Classic on your home lake, and I always think of you. Good to have you with us, Casey. Thanks for the time.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the time.
Hey, I want to flash back to 2015 when you won the Bassmaster Classic. They just announced this past week over at Bass that they're coming back to Hartwell next year in 22. And every time I hear about Hartwell, I think about nearly dying from cold weather, watching you win the Classic.
It was
back in 2015.
A cold one.
Oh, my word. It was unbelievable. 9 degrees.
I think that's the coldest 3 days I've ever spent on the water. It's never been that cold here.
No, man.
I've never fished in that cold. That being said, that thing ran into my hands, you know, because it made it pretty tough. It pretty much took away the shallow bite. You know, you had to catch them out. It played right into my hands, but it was brutal cold. I remember the first morning was 9 degrees. We had a 2-hour delay because our boats were frozen to the trailers. Like, you literally could not get them off. You back in, and the boat would just float the trailer. It's stuck.
Yeah.
So it took us forever to get in the water. But yeah, it was 9 degrees, and the wind blew like 15 that day. Brutal cold. I'd have to dip my rod in the water at least twice.
Yeah, just to thaw it out. Do you remember what the water temperature was that day? Obviously, it was a little warmer than freezing.
Where I was, it was about 47, 46. Now, I did hear some guys that were trying to fish shallow that it, you know, they actually saw some ice in the backs of the pockets and stuff.
Having a bass tournament, man.
As
cold as it was, as difficult as it was, it had to be a dream come true for you because it was right there in your backyard. Hey, Casey Ashley sang the national anthem in the morning. He fished with homemade baits that he and his dad came up with, and he won the Bassmasters Classic. You couldn't write a book any better than that, Casey.
You really couldn't. You know, like I said, that understand being something that we've done for years here, and it's a wintertime deal. You know, it's got to be cold. It's sad to say you may not even see that again in a tournament, just because, you know, tournaments fish so much later now. That was actually in February. But man, some of the best fishing that we have, especially in my part of the country, in Highland reservoirs, they're in the winter months, just because, number one, everybody's hunting and they're off the water. But number two, you know, when it gets cold, our fish, they're as big as they're going to be. They fed up all winter. And, man, they're just big, and they're ganged up, and that's probably the most fun time to fish.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, anytime I think of Hartwell, and especially with the Classic there, that you're the first, you know, there have been two other victories on Hartwell. Two other guys have won. One guy since you. But you're the guy I think of and forever will, because I nearly froze to death watching you win that thing.
I did too.
Maybe you can help me out with this, Casey. I ate at some little burger joint there when I was there, and they had a deal on the menu called a bird dog. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I know what a bird dog is. Now, I couldn't steer you to where you ate. That's a pretty big thing around here, but everybody has it.
Okay.
But they are good.
Yeah, man, it changed my life. Tell everybody, what is a bird dog?
A bird dog is basically a chicken skirt in a hot dog bun with cheese, and sometimes they put honey mustard. If they don't put honey mustard, you need to order it on the side because that's what makes it.
Yeah. Mine came with honey mustard. Good. I came home and tried to make it. I think I ate there 7 times during Classic Week back in 15.
You love you, bird dog.
I came home and tried to make them. I couldn't make them taste like you guys do back there. Hey, Casey, again, you've heard it so many times, but congratulations on that classic trophy sitting on your mantle there. And it's a memorable one, dude. We'll never forget it.
Yes, that will never be forgotten in my mind, I can tell you that.
Hey, everybody, this is Casey Ashley. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it, with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Kinder, how'd you get in my boat?
Whether you're new to firearms or an experienced, skilled shooter, the knowledgeable, friendly staff at Marksman Firearms and Outfitters is there to help. Marksman Firearms features an extensive selection of firearms, accessories, and specialty items. Military and first responders get a 10% discount, and they offer a 90-day layaway, same as cash. Buy, sell, or trade at any of their Texas stores, Granbury, Killeen, Mansfield, and Wichita Falls. For more info, visit MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman.
I'm Tom Watson with Bended Knee International, asking you to pray for the Navajo people of New Mexico and Arizona. The COVID-19 pandemic has hit these Native people exceptionally hard. In many cases, multiple families live in the same home. Water is carried from muddy streams for household use, and medical care is many miles away. I simply ask that you join me in lifting them up to the Lord. To learn more, please visit bendedknee.org.
Now, more than maybe ever, we could all use a little getaway. And the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas is the perfect spot. We are open for business and with well-thought-out precautions to help keep our guests safe. Bring the RV and enjoy our full-service hookups complete with cable TV, ramped-up Wi-Fi, and space to spread around while enjoying a great view of Grapevine Lake. We can comfortably accommodate any size RV or motorhome with plenty of pull-through sites. The Vineyards also features spacious lakefront cabins, fully equipped with all that you and your family will need to enjoy comfort camping. Our campground store is well-stocked with everything from groceries and ice to firewood and fishing supplies. Don't forget to bring the boat! The Vineyards Campground and Cabins features a private boat ramp with plenty of parking, a private beach, kayak, bicycle and paddleboard rentals, and even a full-service laundry on-site. Come to the Vineyards! We're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth, but you'll feel millions of miles away. VineyardsCampground.com.
This is Woody, Woody's Fairly Reliable Guide Service, up on Rainy Lake, Minnesota. I've been taking families, friends, and corporate groups fishing for more than 40 years. Crappie, smallmouth, walleye, and monster pike await you right outside your lodge door. Not only can I show you a wonderful time on Rainy Lake, I can sell you your very own island, as I'm a realtor too. So we can do it all up here and take a two-nation vacation with Woody. Over 90% of our customers make it back to dock safely. We hope you're one of them. Woody at RainyLake.com. See you here.
From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and North Fork Rivers at North Fork Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at North Fork Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh-caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. North Fork Resort Trout Dock in North Fork, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com.
The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation salutes hunters for the role they play in providing critical funding for conservation. Funds generated by hunting licenses and fees, excise taxes on hunting gear, and donations to groups like RMEF generate funds that fuel land and wildlife conservation efforts from coast to coast. Celebrate how hunting is conservation at our annual fundraising banquet and auction. Be ensuring the future of elk, other wildlife, their habitat, and our hunting heritage.
Our warm campfire is always the gathering spot, no matter the weather. Tall tales and life's tough spots get worked out here. This is Kender Outdoors, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
Over the past several years, many thousands of kids have started hunting, fishing, and loving the outdoors because of DSC. A great many poachers have been put out of business, and our elected officials know that we as outdoorsmen and women mean business. Come be a part of something important. DSC is at biggame.org.
Hey, I'm Billy Kinder, proud life member of the Dallas Safari Club. This corner of the camphouse brought to you by Fortiflora from Purina Veterinary Diets, America's number one canine probiotic. If you own a dog, you really ought to have Fortiflora in the fridge. Learn more at kinderoutdoors.com. It has been raining 13-pound bass in Texas over the past 3 months. I had a phone conversation the other day with the director of the Texas Sharelunker program, Kyle Brookshire.
I didn't think that I would get a minute with you because you don't get to sit down very much this spring. This is unreal, man.
Yeah, that's right. It is pretty unreal. I'm not really sure what day it is anymore, but we're just, you know, continue to plug away.
For folks that don't know, when somebody catches a 13-pound or bigger legacy class Texas Sharelunker, Toyota Sharelunker, Kyle gets a phone call. He's got the phone number in his pocket. It rings him directly, even if it's 2 in the morning. And you got to get up and put your pants on and go when that happens, don't you, Kyle?
That's right. Yep. We set a response team into motion, which is, you know, a set of our management team and our biologists across the state that help us collect that fish as quickly as possible and get her back to our hatchery here to spawn her.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Now, I have no faith that the numbers we present on this phone call today are going to still be good by the time this hits the air, because the people are catching sharelunkers just that fast. But right now, where do we stand, and where do today's numbers stand historically in the history of the sharelunker program?
Yeah, so today we're at 22. And like you said, that could change because just a few days ago we had 3 caught in one day. But we're at 22 right now, and that's been one of the best seasons we've had, you know, comparatively apples to apples for January, February, March months in several decades. So we're not really sure because the season's not over, but it's definitely been, you know, one of the best seasons we've had since the early 2000s.
I was talking to Kelly Jordan about this and Gary Klein, and I had a long conversation about it, and Weekend Warriors want to talk about it. It's really got a buzz going and doing really good things for the Sharelunker program, Kyle. It's a phenomenal publicity year to go along with all these big bass.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the amount of exposure that Texas Fishing has gotten through the Sharelunker program has just been phenomenal. You know, we love to see big bass. We love to, you know, continue to help produce bigger, better bass for anglers that catch in Texas, and it's phenomenal just to have this many anglers that help that cause, because, you know, the Sharelunker program is really unique, and that its success really relies on a great partnership between the agency and the anglers, because to collect these fish, that really the best way to do it is to rod and reel for anglers to catch them on the water, and then, you know, loan those to us for a brief time when we selectively spawn them, and then stock their offspring back out into the wild.
Yep, and we've been doing that for decades now, and it's really paying off with all these gigantic fish. People have called me and said, hey, Billy, I think this is a result of live scope, and others have said, hey, I think this is a result of that big shad die-off. Kyle, I believe this is a result of incredibly awesome management by your department at Texas Parks and Wildlife, Inland Fisheries. Hats off, dude. You guys are doing something right.
Well, thank you, Billy. We really appreciate that. We're sure trying our hardest, that's for sure. You know, it takes good genetics in those waters. It takes good management and regulations, and, you know, a little help from Mother Nature never hurts. But yeah, for sure, we've stocked Sharelunker genetics heavily in a lot of these lakes. We've stocked Florida strain genetics heavily in a lot of these lakes, and we have some of the best biologists in the country that are intensively managing each reservoir for that trophy potential.
Hey, I want to talk about some of those reservoirs now. Does it surprise you that OHIV is spitting them out like it is? I mean, it's like a 13, 14, 16-pound bass factory this year. I know, we all know it's a great lake, but golly, who knew it was this good? Does it surprise you?
I wouldn't say that it necessarily surprises us that it is producing again. I think the number that are coming out of it, as quickly as it is, kind of caught us a little off guard. But, you know, Ivy's been a really good producer for Sharelunkers in the past. You know, 2010, 2011 had a very similar, both those years are very similar. It had 12 lunkers caught that one year, then I believe six in the following year. And so Ivy's definitely been a producer for big fish in the past. And what has happened is it's kind of gone through several years of kind of a drought and low water stages for that specific reservoir. And then in 2018, it caught a lot of water. So it slowly started catching water. And then in 2018, it caught somewhere around 30 vertical feet of water in the reservoir, which equals about 10,000 acres, surface acres of water. And so what that does is that really helps that lake's fertility level bloom. And so it gives this kind of a new lake effect, which just in turn helps, you know, the bass have an abundant amount of forage in that lake. So it just has a new lake effect, and it continues to grow and produce, you know, these big fish.
Yeah. I was talking to a buddy the other day that bass fishes a lot, and the Possum Kingdom is a lake that typically gets a lot of pressure. He tried to go to Ivy, and he said the boat ramp looked like new truck day on dollar day at the new truck store. He said, so we went to Possum Kingdom, and we had the lake to ourselves, and we sat there catching eights and sixes and threes and fives all afternoon, another great lake. So don't think you have to go to Ivy, because Sharelunkers are coming from lots of different and new places, and that's exciting too, Kyle. All these lakes that we've never thought of. Coleman City Lake, for crying out loud.
Yeah. There's a lot of lakes that are producing some of these trophy class bass. You know, we've had five new lake records just in the past couple of months alone, four large amounts. So it's really exciting. You know, Coleman City, Lake Tyler just produced another one over 15 and a half, just shy of a top 50 bass. And that's a new lake record for that reservoir as well. And so it's definitely got a lot of interest on anglers in general. You know, that's the beauty of the Sharelunker program. Not only does it highlight some of these lakes that are booming like Ivy and, you know, your traditional Fork, but it brings new light to some of these lakes that are closer to home for people. So it just, you know, it just encourages anglers that you can catch one of these fish in just about any water body in Texas.
Just about anywhere. And anyone can catch them this time of year. They're up shallow right now. So if you're fishing from the bank or a dock, throw that worm out there, drag it back slow. You might drag in a new lake record. You never know. And if we do catch a 13-pounder, Kyle, how should we handle that fish? And what do we do next as far as Sharelunker is concerned?
Yeah, so what we try to tell anglers to do is once you get that fish in the boat, you want to try to get her on a certified scale as quickly as possible and into a holding tank on one of these reservoirs until we're able to arrive and transfer that fish back to our hatchery. So essentially, a lot of these popular lakes around the state, you know, that have marinas, we've partnered with those marinas in order to set up a weigh and holding station where they have certified scales and then a large holding tank that we can keep the fish in until staff arrive to transport it. So what an angler needs to do is, you know, certify that weight, give us a call once they've done that, and then, you know, continue to hold that fish into one of those large holding tanks until we arrive to transport it back to the...
Yeah, the app can be really helpful, too.
Yes. We have a list on our website, and you can see it on our mobile app, of these different weigh and holding stations that can help provide, you know, with a certified scale and a place to hold that fish.
I keep opening my app and looking for my name, and it has not popped up there yet, so... Kyle, as much as I'd love to talk to you, I got to go fishing, brother.
All right. Thanks, Billy.
Hey, thanks for all the hard work and congrats on this much-deserved success at Texas Parks and Wildlife Inland Fisheries. You guys are doing, once again, a phenomenal job, Kyle.
Thank you very much, Billy. We're looking forward to see the fruits of our labor for many years to come.
It's professional angler Keith Combs. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
ever been dropped off in a remote wilderness where the bears outnumber people 10 to 1? And the mosquitoes have been known to carry off full-grown moose. Lucky, join us in camp and tell us about it at Kender Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club.
We attend the most critical conservation meetings, no matter where on earth they might be. Sometimes that's Switzerland, sometimes Africa, and sometimes the kitchen table with the future outdoorsman or woman. DSC, grassroots conservation, at work, home, and abroad. BigGame.org.
Hey, we're going to hear from that guy, Executive Director of Dallas Safari Club, Corey Mason, a little later on this hour. We have a brand new Secretary of the Interior, and I want to get his viewpoint, Dallas Safari Club's viewpoint, any experience that DSC has with the new secretary and what they might anticipate. It's a really big deal for sportsmen, outdoorsmen, and women who is in the Department of the Interior. That's coming up. We're also going to hear from professional angler Gary Klein talking about ethics on the water, how we treat each other, how we treat each other's space, how jet skis and water skis treat anglers, and vice versa. Are things getting better out there or worse? Hey, if you'd like to hunt Colorado or maybe you'd like to fulfill that bucket list wish, now is your time to apply for that big game hunt. Moose, pronghorn, elk. The primary draw application deadline is coming up on April 6th, and April 6th is this coming Tuesday. I was thrilled to hear, and you heard us report a couple of weeks ago, that the Park City's Quail Coalition Dinner and Auction Banquet is back on June 3rd, 3 months later than normal. But it's back on the SMU campus in Dallas. I think it took 9 days for it to sell out. But listen, if you want to go, get your name on that waiting list. There's a very good chance, they say, that they'll be able to accommodate your request if you get in there early enough. So, contact Park City's Quail Coalition as soon as possible. Hey, did you guys see the other day where Bill Lowen, Dollar Bill Lowen, won that Bassmaster Elite Series event at Pickwick Lake? I had to do a double take when I heard that it was his first Elite Series win. I would have told you that he had won two or three events. But nope, it was his first in 14 years of pro bass fishing. The game changer, the tournament clincher, came when he skipped his black and blue signature series 3/8 ounce jig with a chunk trailer under a dock near Coger's Island, snagged a piece of cover, and then his line tightened up. He set the hook and he said it was game on. 8 pounds, 5 ounces, and Bill Lowen is a Bassmaster Elite Champion. Major League Fishing's Bass Pro Tour is underway for 2021. It all started on Sam Rayburn Reservoir a little over a week ago. Ott Defoe wins stage one. It was a crazy finish, though. Luke Clausen was winning this thing with just minutes to go, or at least he thought he was winning it. You see, Ott Defoe was fishing in a really secluded spot way up the Angelina River, and cellular coverage was horrible. In other words, his judges couldn't get his updates to show up on Score Tracker. So, with 20 minutes left in the contest, Ott boated a 212 and then a 213, and that put him in the lead over Clausen. But it didn't register on the Score Tracker leaderboard until just about time for the whistle to blow. That 212 tied him with Clausen. The 213 he caught next earned the victory for Ott Defoe. Gerald Spohr, Gonzales, Louisiana, finished third. Tommy Biffle, out of Wagner, Oklahoma, he's been doing it a long time really well, finished fourth. And the Calabama kid, Justin Lucas, Gunnersville, Alabama, finished in fifth. Hey, Pennsylvania, would you like to be a conservation officer? The application period for the next Game Warden Cadet class closes on the 10th. That's next Saturday. Open right now, though, if you would like to apply. That's old Hondo, Bear, all of our bird dogs, house dogs, lap dogs, have been Purina Pro Plan dogs in our home and in our kennel. From mother's milk to the end of their career, it's the absolute best fuel for our dogs. And you know what? All of our dogs are different, So are all of the formulas from ProPlan. Hey, visit an Atwoods Ranch and Home store. Take a look at all the different formulas. Pick up the one that's right for your dog. In just a few weeks, you'll notice a visibly healthier dog. ProPlan. It's at Atwoods. It's an annual tradition for lots of people. Get your name in the hat for the Maine Moose Permit Lottery. The application process is open, online only, and you can apply through 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on May 13th. The 2021 Moose Lottery Permit drawing will take place June 12th. I've been doing a lot of bass fishing, a lot of crappie fishing recently. My granddaughter Zayden is 5, and she loves it. She'll go spend all day in the boat, especially if I buy a box of night crawlers and give her a worm every now and then. She loves that. And she loved that big old 4-pound largemouth bass that took that red square bill the other day. She's on the bragging board, along with her proud papaw, at KinderOutdoors.com. Purina Pro Plan. There is a formula specifically built for your dog, even if they have special conditions like a itchy coat or an intolerance to grain. Pick up the Pro Plan at Atwoods Ranch and Home Stores.
Hi, I'm Sandy from Tony's Bait and Tackle here in Selby, South Dakota. Come here and hunt pheasants with us. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
Like everyone, the conservation world has been down a rough road lately. The money generated through science-based and properly regulated hunting, both here in the U.S. and abroad, is the key pillar of support for wildlife and wild places. I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director at Dallas Safari Club. Poaching, drought, antis that would put a stop to hunting and the shooting sports, right and proper education of the next generations of outdoorsmen and women. These things don't stop because of a pandemic, and at DSC, neither do we. Many hundreds of mission-minded volunteers work without glory or headlines year-round for the DSC mission. That mission is clear-cut. True conservation work worldwide, sharing our beloved and precious heritage with all that will hear and take part, and defeating those that would rip up your Second Amendment and rights to hunt and fish. I invite you to come and join us. It all starts at biggame.org.
It's really exciting to see right now. One thing that's great about archery is anybody can do it. Men, women, or children, everybody can do this. Our lessons right now are fantastic. We see entire family groups come in, have a great time, and they're finding out that this is something that is a great pastime, great sport, and everybody can be successful in.
Americans are learning what a huge benefit it is to learn to hunt, learn to fish, learn to put safe and wholesome food on our tables. Cinnamon Creek Archery in Roanoke, Texas, has taught many thousands of families about the great sport of archery. People who thought they could just never do that now enjoy the range and harvesting their own wild game.
You can't just sell somebody a bow and say, hey, good luck. You need to be able to take them aside, teach them the fundamentals, teach them how to shoot correctly so that they can be as successful as possible and really enjoy our sport.
Visit CinnamonCreekRanch.com and discover the great knowledge and satisfaction that so many other families have found in archery.
At the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, we're really happy to have more than 50,000 kids in school classrooms learning about archery, fishing, boating, and other outdoor skills each year. We're thrilled that we have grown to schools across the United States and continue to grow. We're humbled that teaching wildlife conservation to our future generations have been so eagerly accepted by more than 250,000 kids so far. We're happy, thrilled, and humbled. But we're not stopping. The Outdoor Adventures program in junior highs and high schools across America has proven to be a hit with kids. And in case after case, we've seen Outdoor Adventures' young lives changed. Kids that just were not into school and not involved are now excited to get into the classroom each day because of Outdoor Adventures. The kids earn classroom credit by learning the outdoor basics, and they smile while learning. If you want Outdoor Adventures in your local school, contact me, Scott McClure. I'm at gootf.com. That's Scott at gootf.com.
If you fry your turkeys during the holiday season and you're tired of the hassle of pots, open flames under hot oil, and sticky, oily messes, Then it's time to take a good look at the Cajun Fryer by R&V Works. The original, the last fryer that you'll ever need to purchase. Cajun Fryer puts pro-level frying gear in your backyard or hunt and fish camp. These are high-performance, low-maintenance deep fryers that feature the heat source in the oil. Your oil heats from the inside out. If your family loves a fish fry, Cajun Fryer is a must. Because the heat source is suspended in the oil, small crumbs and pieces that burn fall to the bottom. So your oil stays much cleaner, many times lasting the entire year. Often imitated, never duplicated. Don't be fooled. Take a look at the original Cajun Fryer at CajunFryer.com. Fresh, crisp, delicious every time. CajunFryer.com.
We thank God for the freedom, our men and women that defend it, and the Constitution that guarantees it. Welcome to Camp with Kender Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
Today, while you are enjoying time on the boat or maybe shoot a round of sporting clays, DSC will stand before your elected officials and remind them just how important your rights to hunt, fish, and shoot are. Even if you're not a member of DSC, we fight for you every day. BigGame.org.
Hey, while you're on the bragging board there at KinderOutdoors.com, take a look at these photos that Rob Keck, my old buddy Rob Keck, sent me a couple of pictures earlier this week. He called in a great big old gobbler for country music artist Craig Morgan. They were turkey hunting together. And then in a separate photo, you'll see both of them with big gobblers hung over their shoulders. They had a great hunt. I think that was in North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. But, Rob, hey, congratulations, Craig, both of you. Thanks for sending in the pictures. Hey, to Dallas, Texas, we go now on that Kinder Outdoors Trot Line to talk to my friend, the executive director of the Dallas Safari Club, Corey Mason. Corey, welcome back to the show. And I'm going to have a hard time concentrating talking to you today, brother, because I'm sitting here just scared to death that those crappie are going to get up there on that bank and spawn without me.
That would be a shame. I would hate to miss that.
We're not going to miss that, brother. I've got both eyes on that. Hey, Corey, thank you for the time. I always really, really appreciate my visits with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Billy. It's always great to be with you.
We have a brand-new Secretary of the Interior after a really good run of a couple of really strong advocates for conservation, hunters, the shooting sports, our public lands. We have a brand-new face up there now, and to tell you the truth, we don't know what to expect from Representative Deb Haaland, I believe it is, the brand-new Secretary of the Interior. Her family, she comes from a hunting heritage. I know that, Corey, there in New Mexico. She is Native American, and that is her heritage, her brothers, her family, all hunt. That's a good thing, right?
That's a great thing. To your point, you know, we've had the great benefit of having Secretary Zinke and then Secretary Bernhardt as Secretaries of the Interior, very strong, dedicated conservationist, understood the sportsman and the sportswoman's role in the conservation of our great resources here in the United States. And we have the new appointment, like you mentioned. The new secretary does have a background, if you will, from those around her from hunting, my understanding, as well as maybe she has hunted as well specifically. But unfortunately, we've also seen her support some pieces of legislation that speak directly against science-based conservation. So we do have some pretty significant concerns.
Yeah, and we're talking specifically about a couple of things. Cecil the Lion, everybody remembers that, Ceasing the Importation of Large Animal Trophies Act, and that is the Cecil Act. She was a supporter of that.
She was. That piece of really ill-informed legislation on a number of levels is it ill-informed that Representative Raul Grijalva out of Arizona has introduced that unfortunately the new secretary was a supporter of that in her role representing New Mexico. And that piece of legislation does two things. Number one, it does not engage the interest of those that actually live in Africa and manage those species. This is a piece of legislation introduced in Washington, D.C., that would have catastrophic effects to wildlife ministries, local citizens, community groups, et cetera, that live with and manage these species. It would actually speak directly against their conservation efforts. Well, the negative part of this is the new secretary voted to support that, which speaks against, again, the sovereign rights of independent people and nations. And then number two, this piece of legislation is completely and totally emotionally based. It has no founding on science whatsoever. So that is the concern, that she would be willing to support a piece of legislation like that. And again, not one that is grounded on science, which models the North American model of wildlife conservation.
Yeah, and we've seen it around the globe. For folks that have not been able to keep up or haven't heard about this, conservation has taken quite a hit over the past 12 months because of COVID. COVID has, boy, reached and crept into every crevice of life, and it's opened some doors for poachers, believe it or not, in South Africa and across Africa. How has COVID released the poachers?
Yeah, so it has essentially removed the hunter, the angler, depending on where you are in the world. It has kept them from traveling abroad or anywhere internationally. And so thus, without dollars traveling to the rural bush in Africa or the mountains in Asia, thus those areas are unoccupied by legal regulated hunties or operators, and hunters aren't in the field. And so those places, it would typically be patrolled well because those dollars are paying for the patrolling, et cetera. Now they're available to the poacher to come in, discreetly. And if that's timber, if it's fish, if it's ivory, whatever it might be, bushmeat, unfortunately, they have access right now.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that our virtual convention back in February for Dallas Safari Club, the nightly auctions exceeded what our typical normal in-person auctions do. I think that was a surprise and a pleasant one to all of us, Corey.
Yeah, it was amazing to see the support that members, non-members, auction participants provided to DSC. It was a huge surprise, and I think people really opened their wallets for a couple of reasons. They want to support the outdoors. They want to get out. But they also know that the dollars coming to DSC are going to go to support the right conservation projects. They're going to support anti-poaching. They're going to support game and fish agencies to fulfill needed research and education as well. So they know those dollars are going to the right place as well.
Yeah, and you put your dollars in the right place personally because you won an auction bid and took your daughter, Kate, on a hunt. Tell folks what you bid on, what you won at the auction, and what happened after that.
Yeah, that's pretty personal there in a good way. Was able to buy a hunt in Texas in the hill country and took my daughter, who's 12-year-old, Kate, that you mentioned there, Billy. And just, in fact, this last week on her spring break, we went down there, and she was able to very successfully, with one well-placed shot, take an animal, and it was a great experience, and that young lady was absolutely thrilled, and she definitely helped fill our freezer up, that's for sure.
Absolutely, a beautiful, beautiful animal. Tell me what she shot and a little bit about the hunt.
You bet. So she was shooting a 6.5 Creedmoor, and she shot a scimitar horned oryx, and so the hunt was a lot of fun. We went out, spent some time looking and moving through the brush and saw some animals here and there, and ended up that evening settling down and spending some time. And I thought things were going to kind of get away from us a little bit from a couple of times the animals got bumped here and there, but she was able to get a really good clean shot, probably just a little over 100 yards. She took a really nice, very mature bull, one shot, and he was down in just less than a second. So good clean shot as well.
He is a beautiful, beautiful animal. He's on the bragging board along with Kate, a very happy Kate, once again on the bragging board. She's a very experienced hunter for 12 years old. You've really done a great job of getting her out into the field. And, boy, there's a lot of people like you, and especially since COVID, that see the importance of knowing how to grow a garden, seeing how to harvest your own meat for the freezer. It's a big deal always, a bigger deal now. Since COVID, Corey, you're to be commended for spending your time with her like that.
I appreciate that. I'm fortunate to have a daughter that wants to go outdoors and spend time with me. I love every second of it.
That's good. I know she does too. Corey Mason, thank you. Corey is the executive director of the Dallas Safari Club. This quarter of the Camp House brought to you by Purina Pro Plan with a 30% protein, 20% fat fuel for your hardworking bird dog. And you know what? I've actually talked to people before that have had dogs that just burn up their fuel as fast as they eat it. And they weren't working dogs. They weren't cow dogs, bird dogs. But they fed them this 30% protein, 20% fat to try and keep a healthy weight on them. Think about that if you've got a dog that could use a pound or two. It's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Let's get a cup of coffee.
This is professional turkey hunter Ray I. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line 5 times around each side, pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Tech rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number 2 hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
Whether you're new to firearms or an experienced, skilled shooter, the knowledgeable, friendly staff at Marksman Firearms and Outfitters is there to help. Marksman Firearms features an extensive selection of firearms, accessories, and specialty items. Military and first responders get a 10% discount, and they offer a 90-day layaway, same as cash. Buy, sell, or trade at any of their Texas stores, Granbury, Killeen, Mansfield, and Wichita Falls. For more info, visit MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman.
These are unsettling and even scary times for many people. But for others, there's peace, even as an angry world cries out. The source of that peace is Jesus Christ. I'm John Watson, pastor at Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas. At Cornerstone, we teach the Bible with no man-made religion added in. Join us online Sunday mornings at 10:15 Central at csbiblechurch.org. It's just God's Word, csbiblechurch.org.
Dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Caseria, Cordoba Doves will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Caseria.
The duck lodge is in Corrientes. We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per D's in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at JJ Caseria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caseria. Can see me in Argentina.
There are some very important factors to check when purchasing a hunting blind. They need to be quiet. They need to have an all-day hunt level of comfort. It's got to be dry inside, even in a downpour. Dillon hunting blinds have earned a strong reputation across North America for their durability, insulation, and marine decking fiberglass floor that will never rot in every blind. Plus smart components like an aluminum RV-type door, real glass in the windows that flip in and up with quiet and simple-to-use friction hinges, drip rails on the windows and above the door to keep the wet out. Hey, anyone can build a box. Dillon builds hunting blinds, conceived, drawn up, constructed, and used by hunters. Lightweight and durable, completely assembled, fiberglass inside and out, with foam insulation in between. You can't beat a Dillon. For a dealer near you or to become a dealer, visit DillonManuf.com. That's DillonManuf.com.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave. From high school gyms to towering stadiums, every time I see our flag wave, I feel a humbling reminder of the brave who keep and have kept us free. I stand to honor the sacrifices of the generations before me. Heroes who charged in the battle through bombs and bullets, who lost their brothers and still pushed through, fighting for every inch of our freedom. I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore. Men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth, who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
If you boys are taking that old flat bottom out, don't forget these coffee cans. Just like life, you'll need to bail a little water now and then. This is Life in the Camp House at Kender Outdoors, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
If you drill a hole in the ice to fish or enjoy open water all year long, you are the DSC. The hunter that glasses for sheep at 12,000 foot and the squirrel hunter with his .22 rifle are part of us as well. DSC offices in Dallas, but fights for you no matter where you enjoy getting outside. BigGame.org.
Hey, I got an email a few days back about fishing etiquette. Hey, Billy, seems to be a forever shrinking practice of displaying courtesy and etiquette these days. Last weekend, down at Goat Neck, I was fishing with jug lines on the Brazos River, as I do most weekends. I put out 5 lines in a row Friday evening, staying off to one side of the river so that the sand bass fishermen could easily pass. Saturday morning, one had been hit. I found a piece of the float. It was in the middle, not the first or last one. Saturday evening, I found 10 cheap store-bought jug lines in between my 4 remaining lines. I picked up and moved. I was taught to veer away from someone's lines to avoid hitting one, and you never, ever fish another man's area. Perhaps some fishing etiquette would be a good subject to cover. Always enjoy the show. Marshall Tillman. Thanks, Marshall. You know, a couple of years ago, Gary Klein and I had this conversation about on-the-water ethics.
I don't know if you've noticed this or not, Gary, but it looks to me, or seems to me, like the world's becoming more and more me-oriented, kind of rude. People look out for themselves more, and we really need to be careful when we're on the water because there's an unwritten code of conduct that exists, not only with you as a pro bass angler, but for the weekend warrior, for anyone who hits the water.
Well, exactly. You know, that's one of the most important things, you know, when you run into somebody in the outdoors, they're out there trying to experience the same thing you're out there to experience, you know, just the being out there trying to maybe catch a few fish, or if they are catching them, and they really don't want anybody else in there catching them with them. You know, they want to live that experience. So I'm real thoughtful when I'm around people, especially on public waters. We all have situations, and every one of them are a little bit different. It's very important to understand why we're out there. It's something I want to continue to promote. I'd like to see more people out there. I like spectators when I'm competing, and I like to see people take their family fishing and take their friends fishing, because that's, to me, it's one of the greatest experiences to go out, you know, out in Mother Nature. So, yeah, fishing ethics is, I can't say that's really any different than what it used to be, but it is changing. Today we have social media, we have cell phones. Everybody's pretty current, especially on bodies of water that continuously get fished. There's a lot of intel, local club tournaments, or, you know, a buddy saw a buddy fishing a spot out there, and the next thing you know, there's 4 other boats out there trying to fish that same spot. But let me just say this. That's one of the great things about fishing for bass. it always changes. And I've always said fish are conditioned by their environment. Fishermen are conditioned by their environment. But one of the things that does happen is that when you go into an area and you have it to yourself, fishing's pretty good.
Yeah.
And we notice that a lot, or I notice that a lot on the weekdays, especially come about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but come Friday, Saturday, Sunday, things change.
Yeah.
More pressure, more boat waves, water skiers, more guys out there clunking around on their trolling motors. So we do change the environment of the fish. But that's also one of the most challenging things, is that fishing and fishing pressure changes the fish. And if you're thinking outside the box, constantly trying to ask yourself, what if, you can continue to catch fish as good, if not better, than anybody else.
You're a cerebral kind of guy. The fish don't outthink you very often when you hit a body of water. And that's helped. It helped you put together a long career.
Well, I've had a really good career, but let me just say this. I've had it handed to me on multiple occasions, and one of the things about what I do in my sport is I cannot blame failure or success on anybody but myself, and that's also one of the things I enjoy about it. You know, if I have a good day on the water, I have to reflect and ask myself, what good decisions did I make and why did I make them? Same thing if I have a bad day on the water, and I do not gauge a good day or a bad day by the number of fish that I caught or the bites that I had, because some of the best days I've ever had on the water, I've had zero bites or very little activity as far as fishing. So to me, my whole deal in fishing is not the actual fighting of the fish. I mean, I catch a lot of them. I've caught a lot of them. I'll continue to catch a lot of them. My deal in fishing is almost like hunting. I like to find them, establish a pattern, or find an area that's got a concentration. I have all the mechanical knowledge and tools to catch those fish, and then I like to leave those areas and go try to duplicate that somewhere else on the lake. And I even do that when I'm fun fishing. You know, Falcon is one of my favorite lakes, but if I went down, or when I was down there last time at Falcon, I had a piece of structure that every morning before the sun got up, you know, the first day I found, I think we caught 21 over 7 off of it. You know, I never fished that piece of structure again. And I mean, I know it. I have fished it over the years. But, you know, I beat up on them pretty good. I've got a lot of respect for the fish. I'm not going to give anybody else that waypoint. I'm not going to tell anybody else about it. That's mine.
Right.
And I just have a tremendous amount of respect for the fish. So I like to go and try to find another piece of structure where I can catch 20 more nice ones like that.
And it's important for you to go find those pieces of structure like Gary's talking about, rather than hit people up for their GPS coordinates. Don't go with the guide and carry your GPS in your pocket and mark those spots. That's a pet peeve of mine. I see guys doing that.
Well, what happens is that, again, every day I fish, I'm trying to build a career. I'm trying to learn. Again, fishermen get conditioned. Let me just throw out a real quick example. Say, Bill, if you had a tournament up at Sturgeon Bay and you knew that I was just up there, and now you have a tournament up there 3 weeks later, you call Gary Klein, you say, Gary, man, you know, I'm going to be up there at Sturgeon Bay. I know you were just up there, and you just won the tournament, or you finished in second. You know, can you help me out? And I say, yeah, Bill, here's your 3 GPS coordinates. There's big schools of smallmouth on them, and I would have won the event had the wind not have blown. And I give you those 3 GPS coordinates. I guarantee you that if you took the technique I was using, launched your boat for the very first time, and ran out to those GPS coordinates, you'd smoke them. Because that's just typical northern smallmouth. They school. And when you find a migration route, or if you find something that they're using, they live there. No different than like in the lakes here in the state of Texas. I mean, look at Ray Roberts. Look at Toledo Bend. Look at Rayburn. Look at Lake Fork. Fish migrate. They move around, and it's always because of current conditions and food and habitat. And if somebody gets into an area where, for some reason, those fish are using it, the hardest thing in fishing is to find them, to establish a pattern. And if you so readily give that up, in my opinion, it's not fair to the fish. And the other thing, if you start seeking that type of information, you're not being true to yourself. Because, Bill, if I gave you those 3 waypoints and you went up there and you won $100,000 in that tournament, next thing you know, the next event you go to, you're going to probably ask me, have you ever been up there? Do you have any more knowledge? Because your success wasn't driven on your ability. It was driven on the information that you received. And at that time, it just happened to be good information. And that's the reason why, in my profession, I never gauge an angler by the tournament or by his season I look at the longevity of these anglers over a length of time, because I see a lot of anglers that get involved in this sport, they do pretty good, and then 3 years later, nobody knows where they went. That tells me several things. One is they didn't have a true passion for the sport, and two, they weren't doing things on their own. They weren't fully committed, they weren't trying to develop their instincts and better their skills. They were basically being successful off of other people's information.
He's made his living on the water for decades now, and he's in the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame, my friend Gary Klein, talking about on the water ethics and how we treat each other. Good stuff. Hey, just in case you missed legendary turkey hunter Ray I last hour, we're going to bring him back after the coffee break. If you're going turkey hunting today or this year, anytime soon, you'll want to hear what Ray has to say.
I'm professional angler Gary Klein, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm always thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Tachi Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on. TheHarvestMovie.com. Way out in West Texas on Highway 287, about 40 miles east of Amarillo, is one of the coolest roadside stops that you'll find. Right there on the south side of the highway sits the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Buffalo Gold features wonderful Western art, one-of-a-kind jewelry, and all things buffalo. Belts, boots, and bison leather products of all kinds. Our buffalo wool socks, gloves, hats, beanies, and more will keep you warm like never before during the coldest winters. And that road trip will feel better, too, with a soft and cozy buffalo down knit throw or lap robe. Unique and beautiful Damascus steel kitchen knives, vintage Navajo sterling and turquoise jewelry, a huge selection of bison moccasins, shoes and boots for hunting, working, or just looking great. Stop in and see us at the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Yes, we do have our own herd, 40 miles east of Amarillo near Goodnight, Texas. BuffaloGold.net. Here's a great alternative to corporate team building, client entertainment, and employee appreciation. Northern Sky Outfitters near Jacksboro, Texas. Just a little over an hour from DFW Airport, Northern Sky offers up a beautiful ranch at the top of the Texas Hill Country, teeming with wildlife. You'll find a welcoming camp at Northern Sky, too, with comfortable lodging to suit the individual or the whole group. I've hunted with Keith and Barbara Weems at Northern Sky Outfitters a couple of times now, and I'm looking forward to my next trip. Northern Sky Outfitters caters to both the rifle and bow hunter for hogs, whitetail, and exotic wildlife, axis deer, and black buck hunts. With a mild winter and great rainfall over the past year, Northern Sky Outfitters has the kind of quality wildlife that you just won't find on very many ranches. If you're looking for a hunt that's close to the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex with great amenities and abundant quality wildlife, Northern Sky Outfitters deserves a good look. Do that now at NorthernSkyOutfitters.com. Hey, I want to let you know about something that's brand new and coming to South Dakota this fall, the Dead Rabbit Lodge. You see, the owner received his higher learning from the University of South Dakota, the Coyotes. The dreaded enemy of the University of South Dakota Coyotes is the South Dakota State University Jackrabbits. Therefore, the name, the Dead Rabbit. The Dead Rabbit Lodge sits on the eastern bluffs of Big Blue Lake Oahe. The view from your giant Western Canada Red Cedar Lodging stretches from the dam to the south almost all the way up to North Dakota. The Big Lodge is finest splendor from top to bottom, perfect for big family or corporate groups. But the Dead Rabbit will also feature separate hotel-style rooms, a great game room and bar for entertaining, guest-only dining featuring the Rabbit's award-winning chef. Oh, and about 40,000 acres of the finest pheasant hunting in the world. You won't forget the dead rabbit.
In God We Trust. That fishing story you just told? Not so much. Come on, it's camphouse time at Kinder Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club.
The dedication of DSC members is seen when a teen and his mom shoot targets together for the first time, when a poacher takes aim, but handcuffs block his shot, and when a senator or congressman vote yes to preserve your Second Amendment. That's the DSC at work. We don't tire, and we don't quit. BigGame.org.
Hey, if you're a turkey hunter or a wannabe turkey hunter, you won't want to miss our conversation with Ray I that took place earlier in the show. For those of you that got here a little late to class today, here's Ray again. Hall of Famer, legendary turkey hunter, Ray I.
Ray I, if I don't talk to Ray I in the springtime, something's gone wrong. Something's gone bad wrong, because I equate, you've been doing this so well so long, Ray, that I equate the name Ray I with springtime. You're right up there on that same identity level. You are Mr. Springtime, but you actually chase turkeys year-round, don't you, Ray?
Yes, I do. I'm a fall turkey hunter as well, and hunt turkeys in the winter with a bow, and have been real fortunate in turkey hunting to hunt them all over the country, in Mexico and Canada and even down in Yucatan Peninsula. So it's been a fun ride.
Well, that ride is still rolling too. You know, the longer we go in life, you would think that something like turkey hunting or fishing or whatever we do, that we might love it to death and get tired of it, but it's just the opposite, Ray, and I bet it's the same with you. Our time in the woods just is sweeter and sweeter, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It never gets old. And every trip's an adventure. Every time you're in the woods, you just have to stop and pause and look around and take it all in and go, wow, this is wonderful.
Yeah. My memory can only hold so much, and boy, it refreshes me every time I go out. And you can't remember it just as good as it is, but it's wonderful time in the woods. Let's talk to that new turkey hunter. And I'm going to tell them first, Ray, before you give them any advice, I'm going to tell them right now, go online, do what I did a few years back, and order Ray I's Turkey Hunter's Bible. Everything you need to know is in that book. It's the most inclusive, full turkey hunting guide I've ever seen, Ray. You did a great job, and it took years to put this together.
Yes, it did. And also, that book comes with a DVD, instructional DVD, that outlines a lot of the stuff I talk about in the book.
Yep, you're going to get the instructional DVDs, and you're going to meet some of the folks that Ray has hunted with through the decades. It's pretty phenomenal. That new guy, he's going to go to the store today and buy what? What are the basics just to get started and go out and try to call a turkey today?
Okay, I would say get you a quality box call. A box call has the hinge lid. It's in one piece. You pull it across the edge to make the yelp. You can make the yelps and clucks. You can call turkeys. It's the easiest of all the turkey calls to learn to use, and it's the easiest turkey call to sound like turkeys. Box calls sound like turkeys. I always recommend a box call for those starting out. A slate and peg or a glass call are good, but it takes more time to learn how to use that and to sound like a turkey if it's in two pieces. You've got a striker and you've got a calling surface. Or it's a box call, it's in one piece, you take it out. Some of them you don't have to chalk. Other ones you chalk the lid, pull it across, and you can make your turkey sounds. And box call is just a great call for turkey hunting.
Yeah, easy, like Ray said, simple to use. Want to make sure that you camo up, cover up any shiny objects like that, cover your face. Right. These guys, they have phenomenal eyesight.
Yes, they do. Turkeys are looking for movement. Everything in the woods is trying to eat them. So you've got to really set still and be camouflaged and set in the shadows. Don't set out in the open. It's a perfect example. If you're going to hunt a field and hunt on the edge of a field, don't set on the edge of the field. Set a few trees back into the timber off the edge of the field. But remember, those turkeys are looking for danger at all times, and any type of movement spooks a turkey. And you know something, Billy? One of the things today's turkey hunters, and I want to tell new turkey hunters this, is that everybody's in a hurry. Everything is instant. It's right now. Drive through the drive-thru, the internet, our phones, everything you do, Google this, Google that, everything's fast. That's not how it is in the turkey world. And one of the things I've seen in the last few years when I go with turkey hunters are cell phones. Turn it off or leave it in camp. Let your guide have the cell phone, okay? And slow down. But we got to slow down because we need to get on turkey time. We're always in a hurry, and I'm guilty of it as well. When I first get in the woods, I'm in too big a hurry. Slow down. Take your time. Have patience. Take it in. Let things unfold, and things will happen for you.
Man, that's a really good point, not only for turkey hunting, but for life in general. Slow it down a little bit. Live life day by day. Back to the camo for just a moment, though. What about a pop-up blind? It wasn't there yesterday. It's there today. Is that going to bother the turkeys, Ray?
Honestly, no. I haven't had any bad effects with turkeys with blinds. I've even put a pop-up blind in the middle of an open field and that wasn't there the day before, and it doesn't seem to bother them. Now, I've had a different effect with white-tailed deer. In some instances with white-tailed deer, you put up a pop-up, they come out in the field, they see it, they fall to the ground, they look at it, and they don't want to come around it. Other times, they don't. But turkeys, I've never had that happen to me with the blinds.
Yeah.
But it's still a good idea to set it up in the shadows, and I always try to limb mine in or put some limbs or cedar trees around it and set it in. But honestly, I've never really had turkeys be too concerned about a blind. And blinds are great, especially hunting with the kids.
Okay, so we've gone down to the local sporting goods store. We've got our box call. We've got our camo. We even bought a pop-up blind, and we're set up in the shadows and ready to go. But Chapter 11 of Ray I's Turkey Hunter's Bible is titled, What's Wrong with the Turkeys? Here I am. I'm calling with this box call, Ray, and they're not answering back. What's wrong with the turkeys?
This is great. Yeah, every situation is different. It's the time of the year, the seasonality, and the cycle of the wild turkeys, depending on where you're hunting. If you're in that short, small window of the mating season when gobblers respond to the hen calls, when most of the hens are on the nest, you do extremely well with just basic yelps. But there's times when the turkeys aren't in that particular short window of mating. You may be hunting when the gobblers are still fighting for dominance, pecking order, pushing each other around, or you may be hunting at a time when they're covered up with the hens. The girls are with the gobblers. So you, as a turkey hunter, you have to adapt. You call and hunt dependent on what the turkeys are doing at the area you're hunting at the time you're hunting. So if you set up when you're blind and you do just a few yelps and nobody's gobbling, if you've had an opportunity to scout and you kind of know what the turkeys are doing, you can adjust. If the gobblers are running together, then sound like a gobbler. Slow your yelp down, lengthen your yelp, and use the pecking order to call the groups of gobblers. If they're with hens, try to call the hens. If you get the hens to come in, the gobblers will follow. You can also use the gobbler yelp. And this is not real difficult. Your hen yelp is a short, faster, higher-pitched yelp, and gobbler yelps are just slower in rhythm, a little longer, a little deeper.
There you go. Chapter 13 of Ray's book, Scouting and Roosting. Boy, I tell you, that is so important to me. My confidence level jumps way up when I know where those birds are spending the night, right?
Absolutely. Roosting is everything for me. That's the main scouting thing that I use as a professional with hunting with other people for shooting television shows or guiding the outdoor media. Roosting makes it happen. Whatever state I go or wherever I'm hunting, if I can roost turkeys and learn where the turkeys are roosting, where they roost, how they fly up into the roost, from which direction, and how to set up on them. And that's pretty interesting, too, because if habitat doesn't change, places I hunted 30 years ago, you can roost turkeys in the same areas and do the same setup and kill turkeys.
Hall of Fame turkey hunter, Ray I. Hey, we're all out of time. We've got to go, but I do want to wish you a happy Easter. Please spend a few minutes at least thinking about the great sacrifice that our mighty God made for us. That's what Easter's all about, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Boy, I sure do. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together and invite you back next time around. Until then, may God bless you. and your bunch.